You're listening to WTF at TFW. My spinach are so confused by letters.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Welcome to WTF at TFW. And I'd just like to apologize for welcoming you to WTF at TFW, just in case that's offended anybody. With us today, we've got three podcasters for episode 51. First up is Drew Iden.
Hello, my name is Drew Iden. I am the inventor of the Would Be Gone from Iden. What am I doing with this intro? Can we start over? I had an intro going.
All right. And next up is Drew Iden.
Hello, everyone. That's all I got. I'm out of it today.
Excellent. And next up is the annihilator of apologists himself, Gogdog.
Well, I want to apologize for annihilating you, but then I'd be a hypocrite, so I'm just going to let it stand. I do feel kind of bad because of all the flack you've been getting. You've been so on the defense for that whole thing because I thought I was going to be the only one that would dare criticize Vangelis in any form, even be it humorous. And you've been getting destroyed, and your only defense is, well, the fact that I've been getting destroyed makes me feel like a total badass.
So. It does. I feel like I'm like Atlas holding up the world of
but
Twilight.
You're feeling badass for apologizing to Twilight fans.
I know, and that's more of my inverse trolling.
I'll tell you what, my sister felt better after you apologized, okay?
All right, that's good. That's who I was hoping would hear that. And finally with us is Seth Buzzard.
Hello.
Hello.
My grandfather invented the front yard. Just
I wanted to give him my thanks. If you could sign my own front yard, I'd be very, very proud.
I hope you're paying royalties on that front yard, because we still hold the copyright.
He could sign it with crop circles.
We hold the patent.
His name was like patent. Oliver Olivieri, and just two crop patent circles.
Pending.
Anyway, we're a Transformers podcast here to talk to you today about Transformers, and we're going to open up with just a little bit more coverage on the upcoming UK convention Auto Assembly. They've just released a press release. Funny how that works. That they have a contest going on that anyone can enter. You either have to register for the convention or get a non-attending package in which you basically get a bunch of posters and comic books and whatnot. And you'll be entered in a draw to have a personalized recording by the Roger Moore of Transformers, your buddy, Neil Kaplan. So,
boom.
I'm curious. I'm kind of guessing that you guys aren't all that interested in the non-attending package either way. Unless someone wants to jump out and go, like, actually, I'm getting it. Anyone wants to? Okay.
Nah.
I'm tempted, but I don't have the spare cash. But let's just pretend we were all getting it. So, what would you want your personalized, non-commercial use recording by Neil Kaplan? What would you want that to be? Let's just go in order. Drew, what would you want him to say for you?
So he couldn't do a, hey, this is Neil Kaplan, and you're listening to WTF at TFW. We couldn't have him do that?
Actually, we could, because we don't get money for this.
Oh, we don't. You don't. What?
We're going to talk about this later. let's pretend that we don't get money for... So what would you get Neil Kaplan to say?
I don't know. You get him to say... Hey, buddy, want to go get a beer sometime? What am I going to have him say? Somebody else go, because I'm not feeling
it's a
good
thought.
Tonight.
It's a thought-provoking contest they've opened up, I think.
It is.
You get this chance to get your buddy Neil Kaplan to...
Oh, you know what I'd have him do? That contest winner poem. I'd have him read that.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Yeah.
In the voice of, like, Revenge of the Fallen Long Haul. Gog, what would you get Neil Kaplan to say in your personalized recording?
I'd get him to give us, like, a little monologue of how he's very happy that he was not involved in Transformers Armada in any way.
In hindsight, you mean?
More of just a retcon.
Okay. Yeah, that show didn't go over all that well over here, so maybe it was for the better. I don't know. Seth, what would you have Neil Kaplan say for you, buddy?
I would ask him to ad-lib a skit where, in the voice of R.I.D. Optimus Prime, that he of an episode of Friends, and Joey got his hand caught in the pickle jar, and nobody knows where Chandler is, because him and Monica are still keeping their relationship a secret. That would be so...
Oh, man. Yeah,
this is our this is our best segment ever. Like, ever in the history of WTF at TFW is this.
Because we're all pretending to win? That's how I see it. Myself, I don't know what I'd get him to say. I'd probably ask him to do his best impression of various other Optimus Primes and then have them all go through the drive-thru. Because that's a pretty original idea I just had, to have these characters go through a drive-thru and order food at Wendy's and or McDonald's.
Would you have him do his version of Transtech Shockwave and then be like, okay, but here's my version, and I'm the one who won, so...
What if I meet him in person, I cut him off? I'm like, I don't know if okay, you've seen the video, but I won that part, and you didn't, so...
I mean, yours was good, but here's how I did it.
Or he's doing his Q&A panel and I do that. I'm like, can you do your best impression of Transtech Shockwave? He's like, I don't know who it is. That's right, you don't know who it is! Because I did that voice!
And he's like, who are you? And you're like, I'm big on the internet, buddy. I'm huge on the internet.
Wearing a big t-shirt with my name emblazoned on the front.
Is it just a big V on the front of it? And on the back it's Angelus.
I'm like, my name is V, and I spin around. I'm like, Angelus!
Who's that Angelus
guy? And
you
point to your back with both your thumbs over your shoulders.
Yeah.
Point down with your thumbs.
Yeah, that's all I could really think of to talk about for this. I think it's great that they're putting together a prize like that. I think it's a good idea.
I just totally cracked a code. I just found, I think you were totally, totally misleading on that last reader or listener question of how'd you get your screen name? Because like Angelus, you know, like angel, and V is kind of like an arrow, like pointing down. You're like totally like fallen angel. All right, sorry. Go ahead. Never mind.
I'd never actually thought of that. Is that actually what Angelus means?
I'm sure.
I just always assume people, I always assume people just mistype my name when they write that. You got to Google me up some of this later. I'm going to take a look. Now I'm curious. I want to know who else ripped off my name. Like that prick singer who went back and... Not singer, musician. He was a singer. Now he just makes movie music. Stole
he
my
name. He was a singer. Now he's a loser.
Vangelis. He changed the U to an I, thinking I wouldn't notice, but I know. I know. Moving along, our next topic would be... our new picks. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
We're going to pick out some pictures that are new and that are picks. So let's
open
up. We
picked them.
Yeah, we picked them. Fresh. Fresh like cherries. Let's open up with Seth. Seth, what do you pick? Oh.
Let's go iGear Auto Scouter. Because I got the Gears of War Auto Scouter. So it is interesting to see a different take on it. Now, I went looking for screen captures of the one time that we see Auto Scouter in the G1 cartoons before he is blowed up by unstable crystals. And I'm gonna be thinking that the iGear version is more cartoon accurate.
Ooh.
The way the front wheel thing sticks out. And how the arm comes straight out the front instead of kind of coming out the top like it does in the Gears of War one. Am I going to buy it, though? I don't know. Do I really care about Auto Scouter so much that I have to get another one for $20? Probably not. But I think it is noteworthy that there is an alternative and that this alternative is maybe more show accurate.
But would you say that the Gear of War Auto Scouter is more like a universe reimagining with more lines and whatnot and some stuff moved around?
We'll go that way. And there's nothing wrong with it. I like it. I think it's super cool.
Yeah, I just find it interesting that you could almost say, like, you know, there's the G1 auto scouter, and then this is like the Universe Classics auto scouter.
There you go.
Yeah.
You cracked that code. Congrats.
I cracked it with my nutcracker.
The Universe Classics.
I just feel like I burned out all my A-list material on last night's recording.
That's how I feel.
It's all right. We'll make it. A is good, but B is bombastic. Gog, what's your new picture pick?
We saw a picture of the back of the box for Masterpiece Skywarp, the Hasbro release.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is kind of funny if you compare it to the Starscream that came out. Because the Starscream almost tended to be maybe a little more biased in his favor, because it was like, he's the commander of the air and no one dares enter the skies without his permission or face his wrath or whatever it said. And Skywarps is kind of exactly the opposite. It's basically saying that he's too lazy to do anything other than just play practical jokes. And he can't accomplish crap, so.
I thought his
bio was pretty funny. It's for Skywarp fans. I'm sure some of you'll get a kick out of it, but they did kind of beat him over the head a little bit with some his take on his bio. But I think it's funny. I think it's funny that Hasbro is. I forgot what's the name of the guy who's doing their bios
Forrest,
now.
Forrest Lee.
Yeah,
Forrest Lee.
He's doing a great job with some of these and just. Completely adding some funny stuff into there. So, but yeah, I got a kick out of it. But I'm looking forward to this. I'm glad I never got the Takara version, because this will be mine when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm starting to have buyer's regret on the Takara version. But my backstory on that one is, like, I was literally in Japan when he came out, so he was quote unquote cheaper, aside from, you know, the cost of going to Japan. So it was kind of an impulse buy.
Yeah, I almost bought this several times, and I just, for some reason, just haven't yet, and I feel completely lucky, and that's really all it is. Though, I think that the Thundercracker would have made more sense, though, because didn't the Masterpiece Thundercracker have, like, some widespread assembly issues where the chess pieces were put on backwards, or...
So I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard a bunch of people who had that problem, and you kind of have to knock the two pins out of the intake chest pieces and switch them from side to side, so... It would have been cooler if we got the Thundercracker, so hopefully we eventually get one, but whatever. I'm still going to get it, pick it up.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm kind of tempted by it just for the extra, like, little paint bits here and there, but we'll see what happens when it comes out. Drew, have you got a newly picked picture to cite and discuss?
Now, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to every podcast that's come out. There's been like 30, literally, in the past month. has anyone gone ahead and picked the thread in the Radicon section that has like 13 different possible BotCon 2010 ideas?
Not 2010 ones, no.
It is an epic. It is epic thread of epic win. It's by White Mocha, who not only does this great thread, but also has a fantastic Tobias Funke avatar and Arrested Development quote. But, needless to say, it is maybe the thread of the month, possibly of the year. He comes through and does digibashes for, what is it, five different sets three different sets, I guess. One, two, three. Four different sets. And, I mean, look at it. The link will be available if you're downloading this on iTunes. Go to the thread on WTF and TFW, the boards. The link's available there. We'll link you to it. It's in the Radicon section, in the fan art section. And Digibash BotCon 2010 ideas with Digibashes, which is nice. And just some of them are just astounding.
Yeah, that's
just amazing.
Interesting.
Chrome, yeah, these do look really awesome. Cool. I'm looking at them.
Chrome Dome and Wind Charger are rad.
This opening one, the Nebulos set, is a great idea.
Yeah, I like his new heads on the Universe Cyclonus. Because that figure is just dying to be redone somehow, at least with a slight retool. But the one time we got it, was it Henke? What was it?
It's one of the tech bots. Strafe.
Strafe. Yeah. Like, they didn't even give him a new head. It was kind of lame, but I think, so the two repaints he did, or Digibashes, have new heads, and they both look good.
I love the crosshairs, too, because it's with that little monocle. It's like an aiming thing. It's like his crosshairs are on his face now. I don't know.
It's quite, and he also, when I was but a wee lad, I got into Transformers when there was Action Masters still out, and there was like Micro Masters, and it was like last of the Target Masters that were like the smallest price point possible for a Target Master, so like Backstreet, Overload, Jackpot, those kind of guys, you know, in an up-to-date form was really, really cool. And I like the fact that he put them together in sets and, like, had ideas for, okay, if they're going to put an attendee set together, they're going to do Scorponok. And if Scorponok's going to be there, well, they can't just really do Scorponok and, you know, another big guy. So let's put them with Sure Shot. That makes kind of sense. One little guy, one big guy, keep the price somewhat definable. And then the freebies are all defined, like what they would be. And I love all the ideas. I mean, I think it's just a fantastic every set I would be really excited about.
Now, that's
the Diaclone set is pretty cool too.
Yeah,
even that's a very simple set. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, you know, simple a blue Optimus. Oh, you know, some people would have a fit rage, but once you had it in your hand. And it was actually that dark, almost navy blue legs and stuff with the lighter blue on top is pretty awesome.
I would buy a blue Classics Optimus if it was in the store. I would do that. I would not have a rage.
I like the
Red Mirage. I like.
I like the black Ironhide. Universe Classics emo hide to do a throwback.
Well, the blue streak is just an excellent color scheme.
Yeah.
They did a real good job on that one, specifically.
I think it's basically, you know, mass praise at this thread. This is really freaking cool.
Good job, guy. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention, Drew. That's really, really cool.
I did good.
I did good. Hooray.
You get a gold star. And a kid's meal.
My own new picks are nowhere near as cool. I was just going to do another garage kit report.
Yeah, thanks.
I feel stunted now.
Can't steal the show every time, buddy.
Man, Drew with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 punch there. Yeah, I was going to point out, we've got images of the Fans Project Superion appendage kit packaging and instructions and whatnot. It's looking pretty cool. A lot better packaging than I expected. But more importantly, we also got a look at the SG Collect Drift. And what's interesting about that is that it's way more an actual garage kit. You see, the classic Japanese garage kit is a big box that's fairly expensive, full of unpainted resin chunks that you then have to screw together and use third-party ball joints and whatnot to assemble into a toy, like, and then paint yourself.
Like that Cyclonus and Wheelie that came out a while ago?
Like the Jizai kind of thing, where it's way more of a model kit than anything else. And that seems to be what Drift is, and I was kind of amused when the reaction was like, oh my god, he costs that much and he's not even painted! And I can understand that, because we've been more or less utterly spoiled by TF Club toys and Fans Project, but yeah, I thought it was neat to see the result. It looks cool. It's not the kind of thing I'd want to go out of my way to buy, but it's neat to see an actual garage kit out there to the classic degree. And the last little thing I wanted to bring up was the amusing thing of, I can't remember what company it was, but they were going to release a Masterpiece Magnus trailer, and they announced that it had been canceled because it was crap, and then they showed us pictures of it, and it was crap. So I kind of like that they basically said, hey guys, this sucks, so we're not going to release it, and you can see what it looks like so you can laugh. The implication in their wording was that they got it from a third-party designer, so I'm guessing they were kind of, like, publicly humiliating the guy for not delivering on what they wanted.
At least they were honest about it and realized, oh, this is not going to be cool, so instead of just shoving it out there and hoping people buy it anyway, let's do the right thing and pull the plug on this stink burger.
Mm-hmm.
It almost reminds me as a good, like, as a good counter to the original arm, the original Unicron from the 80s. That was just, ugh. That fortunately also never came out because it's just so god ugly.
Yeah, this Magnus is like, the best part of him, I think, is the head, which is just like this bulbous marshmallow. Yeah, I found that amusing. But we got lots of neat garage kit stuff coming out. I think the G3 trailer's due out sometime this month, so there'll probably be some good pictures of that soon. And that's exciting. Something else that was kind of exciting, at least for some people apparently it was very much not, was that Optimus Prime read the top 10 on Letterman recently. And it was actually the ILM model, it looked like. It looked like it was some custom footage they did, and they actually had Peter Cullen reading the lines, and I believe it was like the top 10 things for a giant robot to say on The Late Show, or something like that. And
Top 10 funny things that a giant robot would say.
Yeah.
Things that sound funny when a giant robot says.
A couple of them gave me a chuckle, but I checked around online, and it seems like reactions are kind of mixed. Some people were kind of like, haha, lol. And some people were like, oh my god, Peter Cullen, you've fallen from grace. I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was typical of any Letterman top 10, where it's like there's one or two really hilarious ones and one or two that kind of suck. I don't know. What did you guys think? Gog, what did you think of the Letterman top 10?
I thought it was funny. I mean, I got a kick out of it. I didn't hate it. It wasn't anything particularly epic. So, whatever. I mean, David Letterman almost seemed to be kind of annoyed by the fact that someone else was reading his top 10 list, but that's just kind of him. He's a cynical guy, so
it was
all right. Whatever. I mean, it was funny. I laughed at a couple of them. I don't know.
Well,
the same people who were posted in the Optimus Prime is ruined thread. referring to the Revenge of the Fallen face taker Prime, but you know, I guess those are the same people that. If you have expectations of how your personal childhood hero is supposed to act, then maybe at this point you should just avoid the movie character altogether because he's apparently letting people down.
Yeah, but Dave being annoyed—that's just part of. That's part of his little character.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
They have guest readers all the time. Well, not all the time, but fairly frequently. They have some guest come up to do the list. So,
I haven't been up on my David Letterman lately, so that's good to know. I wasn't aware.
Yeah, I haven't watched him regularly in many years.
Do you get the same late night people in Chicago, in Canada?
Up here in Great Chicago.
Man, how was that? Were you alive when they had the Great Chicago Fire? Did it like burn down all of Canada?
It did. Burn down all of Canada. Then I was born from the ashes. We do have the same late shows. We used to have a couple Canadian late shows. The one that I can name off the top of my head would be Mike Bullard.
And the McKenzie brothers.
Sure. Oh, no, like talk show late shows was like Mike Bullard was the big one. But
yeah, but the McKenzie brothers, they were a late night talk show.
They were a talk show?
They were real. They weren't a sketch on something else. They were real.
They never talk showed it up though. They were having a they were like a classic version of a podcast.
Those are real people.
Well, they are. But what I'm saying is they were tending more to discuss between one another, not have people on. I mean, I applied to be on their show many times and they turned me down. So
they said take off, hoser.
Yeah, and I was offended. I was offended, and I demanded an apology. And they told me to go stick my. It's a bad memory.
Clearly,
but yeah, we get all those late night shows. We get Letterman. Well, it's not Leno anymore, is it?
Conan.
Conan O'Brien.
It's Conan O'Brien. Yeah, and we get the dude with the accent. Wow.
Craig Ferguson?
Yes, Craig Ferguson. The dude with the accent. That's horrible.
More anti-Scottish ravings on the podcast. Man.
Sorry, whoa. Bored Wise.
Why everyone hating on the Scots?
I like Scots, just not bouncy ones. Not senile and bouncy.
Drew, what did you think of the Letterman Top 10 with Prime?
That was good. I laughed. I liked it. I was like, this is funny and different. I liked the fact that it was kind of, it seemed like it was decently original animation, or somehow they edited it to seem like it was. It was funny. It was. I thought it was cool, and it was neat to see. Because I grew up watching Letterman. My parents were big Letterman fans. They went to see him a few times. So I've always been a fan of Letterman.
Mm-hmm. Cool, mm-hmm. Cool. Seth, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I also grew up on Letterman. My dad has been watching Dave since the beginning. So I've been watching Dave since the beginning. And even
G1
still...
G1 Letterman?
Yes. back when he had horrible articulation.
He couldn't talk. He just couldn't talk.
He only sat at his
couldn't
desk.
Sit. Yeah, he had to stand because he didn't have any hip articulation. But anyway, so, but like even today, my dad watches Letterman, and if there's a guest or a segment or a joke that he thinks is funny, he will save it on his DVR until he can show them, or he could show me like an hour's worth of bits from multiple episodes. So I got to see it from the actual TV, and it was cool. Like, I liked all that special animation they did, like when Optimus is introduced, like he tries to walk through the little doorway on the side of the stage, guest comes through, but he can only fit like a toe, so he has to go around and come out the main part of the stage. and then like people were, this is what kind of drives me crazy sometimes with our fandom, is there's a minority that have to pick apart and overanalyze every tiny detail. So there's like been complaining about him having his face guard up, and he can't see his mouth move, which saves the animators the trouble of having to do the lip sync. Because, you know, I'm assuming ILM did the animation, and I'm sure that a 5-minute top 10 list bit is not high on their list of things that they need to do right now. So. But, and then the mask is the thing that everyone complained that Prime didn't have on all the time.
That's what I was about to say. Everyone complains that he has lips, and then they put his face mask up for an entire little deal, and then the people complain that it's up.
Yeah, but and it's just cool that they bothered to do it anyway. And then as far as the jokes not being that funny, the top 10 lists are rarely funny. It's usually just like a bunch of random jokes or things that don't even fit, and it's just another chance to take a jab at whoever the celebrity of the moment is. And, but, it, I mean, it was cool. It was fine. It was neat. And people I even saw somebody complaining that they're mad that Dave just doesn't have, I just forgot his name, the voice.
Peter Cullen?
So horrible. Peter Cullen. Complaining Peter Cullen isn't just on as a regular sit-down guest. It's like, when has Dave ever had a pure voice actor on as a guest? That doesn't happen. It doesn't. It's just, reading the thread drove me nuts. Anyway, I could ramble on forever about it. Stop. It was neat. It was fun. People should just enjoy that it happened.
It will never happen again.
No, because Dave has looked on the message boards himself. He's like Bob Orsi that way. He's like, you know what? We'll screw these people.
Host
we were
going to
do Megatron next week, but now we're
done. That's his username, host of Late Night.
The real David Letterman.
Your buddy Dave. Yeah, all I really have to add is thanks to Protoman for sending me the link in the first place, because I actually just entirely missed it. And then I caught him posting about it, I think, on Facebook. So, props, Daniel. Props. Something that unfortunately hasn't got many props is a toy that didn't make it through the stolen Chinese circuit. It entirely avoided it, and only just now have we seen hands-on reviews of it. So I felt I'd give it its own section, Revenge of the Fallen, Constructicon Devastator, the $100+ toy, depending where you are. We've now seen more than one review, and a couple of them have even been, you know, ones where you can really see what's going on. And, yeah, it's totally not worth the money. my own opinion on what I've seen so far is it looks like a really solid, really fun toy that's about $40 too expensive. But I do really like how the mouth opens. It's kind of neat. I was wondering if you guys had seen any of these pictures of Devastator in hand, you know, without any of the photoshopping, without being behind glass, with, you know, just pure people manipulating it with their fingers and generally being a little disappointed. I don't know. GOG, have you seen any of these?
I have, and I also saw it in at BotCon. So I have a little bit of a frame of reference when watching the video. I watched the one that got front-paged, Frenzy Rumble's review. I will say that the size on the thing is pretty impressive. I mean, seeing it at BotCon under the glass, it's a pretty big stinking toy. Unfortunately, I think that's about all it has going for it. I don't know. It's just... that's the thing, is it's just, like... it's too expensive for what it is. I mean, the thing is... okay... you have a combiner that's made out of Decepticon vehicles, but the vehicles only transform into body parts. So you would think that at least on the vehicles that they would be, like, ultra-detailed because they don't have to have a robot mode. You know, they just have to transform into what can pass as a body part, you know, a hand or whatever, and it doesn't even really have to do it all that well. And the vehicle modes suck worse than the Deluxe and Voyager Constructicons that we got. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me just blows my mind. It's like, if you wanted to make like an ultra realistic vehicle, or at least put some paint on it or something, it's like, ugh. I mean, the thing is just like, I don't know. I just don't understand how they could think that this would sell for $100. It's like, I don't know. I look at the Transformers that I've bought for $100 and I mean, what have I gotten? Like, the original Masterpiece, like, pretty much all the Masterpieces were, you know, came out for around $100, except for Grimlock, it was a little more, I mean, but, yeah. I don't know. I just look at what I get for the money, and you get, like, like Play School, like, my first backhoe or something.
for the kid out there who always wanted to drive a backhoe.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I don't think there's a backhoe in it, but I'm just saying. But I don't know. It's lame. I don't really want to own this at all, and I don't have anywhere to put it. For one, maybe if I did, and I was just like a huge Devastator collector or something, then I would I'd get it and find room for it. But I there's no doubt this thing is going to end up on clearance at one point or another. But even then, I really just don't really want it all that much.
Well, when you said, unless you're a huge Devastator collector, do you mean you're huge on Devastator, or you collect huge Devastators?
Huge on Devastator.
Oh, okay.
There's different Devastators out there. You know, you got Constructicon Devastator from Energon, you got G1 and Devastator, you got the Micromaster
also the Devastator oversized combiner. Knockoff Devastator. Isn't there one?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Well, I don't know about oversized. And then you got the there's a Diaclone. Wasn't there Diaclone Devastator?
Yeah.
So there's a few Devastators out there. So I mean, if you have like a big Devastator collection, I mean, you're obviously going to want to pick this up. But I don't know. I mean, other than that, I'm not. If you like it. You know, it's not... I know that there's plenty of people out there that are just... that looked at the reviews and said that, you know, said, do want. And that, great. You're going to have plenty of opportunity to find it, because there's a lot of us out there who are just meh on the whole thing and don't really care.
That's a shout-out to you, DevastatorFan17. I'm sure there's someone out there with that name. I'm hoping.
That's my alt ID. Oh, just got banned.
Banned! Oh. Drew, what do you think of the big, large Devastator? As a man who spends lots of money on toys, are you looking forward to spending lots of money on this toy?
Picking it up the first time I see it. Here's the thing. Devastator, I looked at it from not so much the collector standpoint. I looked at it from a kid's standpoint. And the past week, I recently spent like with family and stuff for the July holiday, and I got to play with all the Revenge of the Fallen figures because my brother has them all. And I mean, it literally took me like 45 minutes to transform Prime, and I was like, you know, when I was a kid, it was fun to just be like, done, okay, transformed in the truck. Now, you know, who cares what happens afterwards? So I was thinking, this is kind of fun for the kid who's going to be, I want this, 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 I want this. Because, I mean, I don't know what parent is going to buy this for their kid unless they are super serious that they want this. And the kid who is going to be super, super serious about wanting this is probably a younger kid who thought that Devastator was really awesome. And, maybe just I couldn't even figure out what do you call it? Who's the one with the double wheels and he rides on his wheels and he destroys
Demolisher. Demolisher.
Yeah, I couldn't even figure that out. And I mean, I gave it the old college try, and I was like, yeah, whatever, forget this. I threw it to the side. So I'm thinking, when I saw the review, I watched it, and I was like. This
and your brother was like, dude, that's from my collection. And you're like, whatever. Junk. Just flip it over your shoulder. Whatevs. Bounces off the wall.
Did that break? Yeah, I think it did. Oh, no. I was thinking, you know what? It'd be nice if there was something maybe simpler that wasn't fast action battlers, you know. And this is kind of it, and I don't think it's necessarily the worst way to go about it in the world. I don't know. I'm not gonna pay. I'm not gonna buy it. I don't think it's made for collectors, which I think bothers the fandom.
I think you're right, and I looking at it from that perspective as a kid, I would totally want this thing, but I don't think it's worth $100 is my problem. Like if it was like $60 or something like that, then I would be like, yeah, but I don't know. Like, even as from a kid's point of view, it just seems to me like for what you get, it's too expensive. I don't have a problem with what you get. It's just how much that they're expecting people to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, Seth, what's your take on all this?
Well, I'm from when we saw it in the big glass box, I was impressed with how massive the excavator part of it is. It's cool how big that one part is. That's pretty cool. But like Gog mentioned, it will be going on clearance. Like, this is going to go on clearance like crazy. Like, before you know it, it's going to be at least $60, if not cheaper. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look what happened with that first time we got a Unicron in Armada. Like, I paid full price for that dumb thing that was like half as much just 3 months later, and I was like, oh man, I screwed up. I should not have bought it when I did. But we were wrapped up in the hype. It's like, oh my god, there's never been a Unicron before. We have to buy this super fast, thinking everybody else in North America was thinking the same way. Like every kid is going to be like, oh my god, it's Unicron. They don't know what Unicron is. They don't care. So it's going to be cheaper. And I bet you anything, before long, we're going to see somebody who got it and did just the sickest repaint on it, and it's going to look awesome repainted. Like, someone's going to go in there, and they're going to dry brush it and do black washes and paint
dry
in,
brush
like,
some more.
Yeah, and paint in, like, some chipped corners, so, like, there's metal underneath the chip paint, and it's just going to look amazing. And then people are going to think, maybe I do want to get that, and not be able to repaint it like that because I don't have the mad dry brushing skills. But, I don't know. I'm going to take a hyperbole pill, and I'm going to say, like, I'm going to pretend that I'm somebody who's all raged on it on the message board, and I'm going to say, like, are these Transformers or Bob the Builder toys? I mean, come on!
Bob the Builder! Let's do it! Yeah, my own take on it is that I really like how sturdy it looks, and I like how humongous some of the vehicles are. It's just that at the end of the day, I don't see where the $100 all went. Like, it doesn't look like $100 of stuff, primarily because of that you know, big flat surfaces and lots of not anything being painted. So I just don't understand where the money went. I do like that, like, when you open his mouth, there's, like, a couple different sets of LEDs that light up in sequence. But, yeah, I just don't see where the money went. Especially in Canada, where he's, like, $130. Or in the UK, where he's basically $200. I don't understand where a lot of that budget went. So hopefully that can maybe be cleared up in a Q&A someday. Like, can you, like, what made this dude cost more than, you know, what he seems to have in him? That said, of course, I have a stolen Chinese one on the... No, I don't.
Oh, well, the reason why it never got through the stolen toy syndicate is because it is way too big to fit down anybody's pants.
I don't know. You just stuff that scavenger enormous box down your pants. You're like, what's that? You're like, that's my tumor. I bet that
from all the lead.
That's my lead tumor.
Oh, lead.
On the topic of lead tumors, it's time for an intermission. So let's snap to action.
It's not a tumor.
An intermiss.
It's not a tumor.
Run it, Dreadwing!
And Dreadwing's class is deadly!
Dreadwing is punishing! His Gatling gun is killing! The Decepticon bomber's a Transformer-rama! A 3-in-1 villain that's chilling! Combat tank and sonic jet transform into double trouble robot! The missiles go boom, smelling certain doom! If they take apart the awesome Autobot!
Autobot, help!
No one can save you!
Transformer Generation 2. Dreadwing is all you see here. Other figures sold separately.
We're back, and we're going to talk about what we got this week. And I'm going to go first.
What?
Because I actually got something. In the mail, I finally got Heat Wave from the Collector's Club, so I was able to assemble my mighty Dildo Kong, known to some as Nexus Maximus. And he's big and neat, and has all kinds of problems that I think were caused entirely by being a combiner that was made over the course of 5 years. But there's a lot of good intentions in him, and I like how the head on Nexus Maximus is a combination of all five smaller robot head sculpts. But that said, his whole aesthetic look kind of works except for Skyfall, because Skyfall, the very first free toy, is solid blue, and every other limb on this guy is primarily red. The other big ruining factor would be that he doesn't seem to know if he wants to be translucent or not, and they really should have gone all the way, one way or the other. The big ruiner for that being the helicopter, who's almost entirely not translucent when he's in limb form. So he almost has this cool look going on where his torso's blue and his limbs are translucent red, except that one of them is solid red, his thighs are solid red, and one of his arms are blue. So the whole guy just feels like a good intention that was executed wrong, almost because they had like a year between each figure, and it feels like parts were swapped around or something. So I was kind of disappointed, but at the same time, I'm greatly amused by this guy. I just like to call him Dildo Kong and come up with attack names for him. Like, if you take Skyfall as an arm and take the little red gun piece off, you can do, like, the Nexus Penetrator Punch. He's got this kind of, you know, plain nose cone on his fist. And he's kind of cool because he has a helicopter. I'm going by the what I assume is the official combination that I saw on the wiki. Since he has a helicopter leg with its absolutely lousy, useless foot, he can do a really cool, like, helicopter cyclone knee, where you stick his knee out, and then you knee someone with it with the blades deployed and whatnot. So he's got some neat things. I think that really I like him in part because he was free, and as a free toy, he's neat, but if you actually paid money for him, I'd find him kind of disappointing. The other thing I got wasn't Transformers, but I got my Kamen Rider Another Agito figure, and he's like my new muse, and he's on my desk all the time because he's beautiful. He's like the single sexiest Bugman toy I've ever handled. So I'm all over this a lot more than Nexus Maximus. But that's what I got. Hooray! Drew, did you get anything?
Well, I recently have acquired, but not yet in my hands, an AVO Swerve, which is wonderful. I have always wanted that since seeing Haikyuu play with one at BotCon 2008.
That's exactly where it happened with me.
So, yeah, I said, oh, that would be cool to get. And a few months ago, I really almost bought one. But now I have afforded the opportunity by the Soundwave CA. What a great human being who has hooked me up with one. And I can't wait to actually get a cool Transformer for once.
Man, I'm jealous. I guess is that all you got going on? It's just the potential Swerve coming in?
Yeah, I bought a lot of food this week. I made ribs. I got 3 pounds of steak for $10, which is pretty good if
Holy
you think about
crap.
It.
It's a lot of red meat cholesterol. You gotta eat some chicken and fish to balance that out, sir.
What?
No, you guys and food.
.com.
Guysandfood.com.
Yeah, that's my new blog. I got that. That's what I got.
But don't forget the hummus.
We'll never forget the hummus. Cool. Gog, what about you?
Okay, I actually got a bit of a surprise. I mean, nothing that anybody's really going to care about, but it was interesting because I very rarely get free stuff in the mail, but my buddy from the boards, Quinjester, has been trying to convince me to buy Voyager Demolisher ever since the Revenge of the Fallen toys came out, and I've basically just said, I played with him at BotCon, he's alright, but I'm trying to at least hold back on what I spend money on, just trying to get the stuff I really want. So he finally just got disgusted with me and just bought me one.
Disgusted with you? He's like,
he wanted me to have this figure so bad that he sent me one. So that was like really, really awesome. And I've done something like that for him in the past, so I think maybe he was looking for an excuse to repay me to get the guilt off his shoulders of being a freeloader. But
what are you trying to say?
Just
you're passive aggressively sending messages at me, aren't you?
Don't interrupt my monologue, Seth. All right, I'm in a groove, so just stop.
I'd just like to apologize for Quinjester sending you things for free, and I'd like to apologize for making that apology.
But anyway, I never had any intention of buying Demolisher. I can say that he is a whole lot cooler when he's free. I definitely say that.
That's not really a praise, though.
No, it is. I actually have been messing with the figure quite a bit, and he comes with like a ribbon, you know, like when your mom bakes you cookies, and is there something special about it? You know, there's something special about when someone wants you to have something so much they give it to you. But I do like him more than I expected. He's neat. The whole pose in him with his arms straight out is really lame, and I found a much better way to do it. You just angle his arms back into kind of like a knuckle-dragging tripod stance, and he looks really cool like that. So, I played with the wheels. There's some cool stuff you can do as far as getting him into, like, these motorcycle modes, and, you know, you can make him look really awful, which is 90% of the pictures that I've seen, but he does have enough play on some of the way things move in order to get some unique stuff. So no, I just wanted to say thank you to Quinjester. So it was cool. I like him a lot more than I expected. So, but I am glad that I have him now. I don't really even know what else I got except for I got Leader Jetfire. So I'll just leave it at that. But
that damn Scottish bouncy Scottish robot.
Yeah, no, he's cool. When you combine him with Optimus, there's just so much you can do, and I think anyone who's been looking at the boards or looking at pictures of what people are doing can see that there is a lot that you can do as far as kind of making, maybe not exactly screen accurate, but you know what, the official combination isn't really screen accurate either, so I think that gives people as much creative liberty as they want when combining the figures. But I like the combine mode more than I expected. The only thing that really stinks is that the legs are pretty much static. He basically, from the waist down, turns into a statue, which kind of stinks. If I would have Hasbro change anything. Okay, here's the thing. I think that they were trying to avoid the whole parts former, like take parts off and combine them. But since we've all seen the movie, we know that that's
actually more accurate.
The more accurate, and I think that the figure would have been better for it to actually just take the primary parts that would make Prime look awesome and then stick them on that way instead of kind of having Jetfire just plug onto his back. That said, like I said, I do like it more than I expected. He is pretty stinking cool. It's a good display piece. That's really about it. You can't really do a whole lot more other than display him and make him look as neat as possible. But on his own, Jetfire is cool. The SR-71 mode, I mean, just because it's a jet. I mean, yeah, if you hold it up and look at the kibble on the bottom, then that stuff doesn't look that hot. But again, you know, as a display piece, when you have him just kind of chilling in jet mode, looking down on the top, it is really, really cool. The SR-71, and even the robot mode is good. I like the figure quite a bit. I'm just happy that I got the one up, Aaron, because he said he got his like hours after his recording last week. And
well,
was so looking
both
for
of
it,
you,
but I got mine from Amazon.
All I have here is walls and walls of Leader Megatron all going like.
But I guess I got lucky and got him off Amazon because they sold out pretty quick, and then all of a sudden the only ones on Amazon were from third party sellers selling him. The cheapest one was above $90.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Amazon's restocked or not, but so there you go. Yeah, I like Leader Jetfire. Yeah.
Cool. Seth, what about you?
Hi. Okay, let's do this. Revenge of the Fallen Figures. I got Breakaway and Wheelie. They're okay. They do some interesting stuff, but I probably could have lived my whole life without them and been alright. Chromia. Chromia, I like how different the bike chicks are. Just like with the whole unicycle wheel thing. It's real interesting. I still can't believe the third bike hasn't leaked out of China or something yet, so we could finally see what the combined mode is about. So I'm looking forward to that whole scene. Got Ravage. Ravage is awesome. Ravage was awesome in the movie. Ravage is awesome as a toy. His re-entry mode is just fold up the kitty. I am thinking about doing a kit bash to make him a little more movie accurate by squirting lighter fluid on it and setting it on fire. Then he would look just like he does in the movie during re-entry. I could have lived without the gimmick making his neck pop in and out and his mouth open and close in favor of having a hinged mouth you could position open and closed and maybe a ball joint on his neck so he could like
yes,
help him around.
Yes.
But, you know, that's just a minor quibble for an otherwise pretty darned cool figure. Mm-hmm. Grabbed Human Alliance Bumblebee.
Jealous! I saw one! Except it was $50, so I didn't buy it.
I haven't even seen one yet.
Yeah, so Toys R Us, I don't know if the sale's still on, but I went in there on the 4th of July and they were running a sale, so Human Alliance Bumblebee was $5 off. All the deluxes were a couple bucks off. And if you bought $30 worth of stuff, you got a $10 gift card for when you come back, so... So I got most of the stuff that I just named then. So Human Alliance Bumblebee is pretty cool. His feet, though, it looks like they're backwards. His heel are two toes, and the front of his foot is this big, long foot. And I don't see how you could get that turned around to where it would look proper. But the little Sam figure, even though his face sculpt is kind of weird and his neck looks like it's been squashed down into his body, is surprisingly articulated for the size. He has way more, especially in his legs, like his hips, he has ball joints in his hips, which surprised me. I didn't think that was going to be the case. So that was pretty neat. Moving on, I got a bunch of stuff from Japan. So, when I got Star Convoy, I wanted to get another one of those MicroMaster, those big white, like, transport things.
Yeah.
To put in his other leg. So, I found the Dump Shovel Team MicroMaster set for a fairly reasonable price. And it's still mint in box, and I haven't opened it yet, because now I kind of feel terrible about opening it once it survived closed for so long. I also got Encore Ratchet. I mean, what can you say about Ratchet that hasn't been said before? And then this dude, another Encore figure I got. I think he's one of these figures that nobody thinks they're ever going to buy when they get into collecting, but there seems to come a time where if you haven't gotten there to that point yet, you're probably going to get there one day where you all of a sudden feel the need to own Skylynx. So I broke down and got Skylynx because he's so goofy and odd and whatever, but he's awesome in his goofy oddness. And then the last thing I got that we're going to talk about is Alternity Megatron.
First on the podcast.
Yes, he actually came yesterday, right as we were starting to record our second movie supplemental, which you may or may not have heard by now. he's awesome. I got both alternatives. Where did the Prime go? I had Prime right here. Okay. Their transformation is fairly similar, like especially in the chest and arm kind of region. The legs function differently. With Megatron, though... So his shins are the back end of the car, but behind that, like the main part of his leg, which is hidden by the car parts, like there's a joint which doesn't seem quite tight enough, and I kind of have to be careful in balancing him to get him to stand properly without tipping over, which is a little unfortunate. And it seems like his shoulders are set too far back, which kind of gives him an odd stance, but otherwise it's and his face isn't quite as good as the Convoy sculpt. It's kind of odd, but it's not bad. And I love how the doors on his shoulders work, how they slide. They like slide in half to make the different layers of armor, like samurai armor.
Oh, I love when I saw that in a video.
Yeah, it's really cool how they did that. I really dig his whole scene with the swords and the, like the samurai style. And then just the day before I got it, the pictures came out of the black version, and I was like, oh man, the black version's so much more awesome. But I can't justify spending this much money on a second Megatron that's just a different color. Yeah. So he's really cool though. I mean, if you have Alternity Prime, you got to get Megatron too. It's just that's the law. The Transformer police will come and kick your ass if you don't.
The law of the land.
But both figures are just gorgeous, awesome, well-done figures, and I recommend the hell out of them.
Megatron's definitely on my short-term, long-term list. And by the way, I hope everyone checks out the chapter picture for this, what we got this week, because it's awesome, and it's provided by Seth, and it's possibly the greatest thing I've seen all week. It fills me with joy and wonder. So that's what we got this week, and, something that you may be getting a few weeks from now. This is just a little bit of a PSA, because I know there's a lot of people who are somewhat new to the fandom over the last year or two. Masterpiece Convoy, or Masterpiece Optimus Prime, the MP04 version with the trailer and everything, is going to be reissued as the perfect edition, in which it appears nothing has actually been changed, so maybe he was perfect. All along. Now, I'm assuming you three guys have technically already got this toy in whatever form you wanted, be it looking at someone else's, owning it yourself, etc. Like, you three guys aren't really, like, chomping at the bit for Masterpiece Prime, are you?
No. I have one. Two.
I've got the Takara MP01 Sans trailer.
Me too.
I'm good.
I got the original North American release, not to be all nationalist and weird. and I don't have the trailer, but I kind of wish I had the trailer, and there's a part of me that is like, I get the trailer. But I think I'm going to have to squash that part of me back, because that's a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
And I'm already buying Revenge of the Fallen figures I don't really want. So,
yeah, for me, I got the MP01 right when it came out. So it was him with that, with just like the Papercraft trailer, which I actually built. And I'm actually happy with that, because number one, I already spent lots of money on him. And number two, I honestly don't have anywhere for a giant masterpiece trailer to go. So I figure, like, well, I'll just hold on to that idea, and that'll save me several $100. So someday I might pick one up, but right now I just don't feel the impetus, because I got him way, way back in the day. Like, this was, when did he come out? Like, 02 or 03? No, sorry, 03 or 04. Somewhere around there, and it's been years since I got him, and I'm still happy with the one I got. But for those of you out there who don't have one yet, who may not know about this, you'll now have a chance to get a brand spanking new one with a big-ass trailer, so.
Do it. And you probably should, because it is a good figure.
Yeah, it's a toy that everyone should own as a Transformers fan. Like, whether or not you like it, it still is a piece of engineering that's very much aimed right at us. It was like one of the heralds of the true new age of fanwank. And it's a great piece to have, so highly recommended. And what we're going to end on today would be a pair of listener questions.
So, yeah.
This first question from Transmetal Prime would be...
Hello.
Hello.
I'm saying hello to him.
Oh, hello, Transmetal Prime. Hello.
What up?
Hello, this is the WTF at TFW listener question from Atlas Prime of the TFW 2005 boards. And I have a few questions, actually. I want to know, who is your favorite Transformer and why? My favorite would be Ultra Magnus from G1. Also, if there was a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover line, what would you want from it? Like, an Optimus Piss Tank, Starscream, Cobra Jet thing? I hope to hear your thoughts on these. Thanks. Bye now.
So his question was, who is your favorite Transformer and why? At least the first question was that. So let's run through the list of who our favorite Transformers are and why. Drew.
Radimus. He is the best. I love that color scheme, and I love the 86 movie. Boom.
Ba-ba-boom. Gog, what about you?
I also, as far as Autobots, it probably would be Rodimus as well. I think he's a very underrated character, and I love the color scheme. I have a lot of Rodimus toys. I just think he's awesome. I like Starscream. I know that that's kind of cliche, but I just remember as a kid, like, his name fascinated me. Like, Starscream just sounded totally cool, and his voice, like, when I was 4 years old watching the original cartoon, I just always found hilarious, and so he's always just had a special place in my heart. So there you go.
Very cool. And Seth, what about yourself?
G1 Shockwave, because as a kid, I never had a Megatron, I never had a Starscream, and Shockwave seemed like the highest ranking character I ever had. Also, he was the biggest Transformer I had. Mm-hmm. And then when I started reading the old comic book, and he was so much different, the character, like, I still think the comic book version of Shockwave is just super awesome. Like, I'm just going to fly to Earth and shoot Megatron in the back because I'm pissed off that he's not dead already, kind of a thing. I just thought that was like, dude, Shockwave is brutal and awesome. I love this dude so hard. And then animated Shockwave, also awesome. So it seems like you can't really screw up Shockwave too bad.
That is savage.
Shockwave. I less than three Shockwave.
It is absolutely savage. My own favorite Transformer, I think I said it elsewhere, but I'll say it again, Punch Counter Punch, because of all the potential fiction and character he could have that he's never had the chance to have, and for some reason that makes me like him even more, because the potential's there, and I doubt it'll ever truly be used, but that's why I like him so much.
The other three of us like a character for what has happened, and Vangelis likes one for what has never happened.
Exactly. Although, I mean,
although the Collector's Club figure is coming out this year, right?
Well, yeah, and I'm really, really excited about that. And
I am too, actually.
He kind of did this stuff because the More Than Meets the Eye Dreamwave books implied that this could have happened, but that's all he ever got. So I kind of, the thing is that what they implied was basically what I always imagined, and I really clung to that. So I was like, this is awesome. Like, if it ever happens, it'll be great. It never happened, but, you know, hopefully, whenever the day comes when Punch Counter Punch gets his day, they'll look to that More Than Meets the Eye profile and go like, you know, that's a good idea. Let's run with it. So that's why I like Punch Counter Punch. That, and I think the whole thing of a double agent, which again is replicated in animated Shockwave, that a Transformer would actually physically transform from one robot mode to another one to trick one side or the other. I like that idea, so that's where that came from. Transmetal Prime's other question was, if there was a G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers line, what would you want from it? Drew, you had an excellent answer to this in the pre-show.
Did I? I'm sorry, G.I. Joe crossovers? I'm still waiting for Transformers crossovers Even Stevens. Well, I mean, the time is now for this to come out. Hello. God.
Is Ramon Rodriguez an Even Stevens?
He should be.
Someone said he was in a show with that he was another Nickelodeon offspring, but I never actually looked that up. So.
Wait, what was my answer from earlier? I don't want to care.
Your answer from earlier, I was like, you know, what would you want from? You were like, nothing.
I don't want anything. I want the USS flag so I can throw it out and no one can ever find it.
I want someone else's USS flag so I can just throw it over my shoulder because it's not interesting. Gog, what about you? If you saw a G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers line, what's one thing you'd really want from it?
What was that one plane? I can't remember if it was. I think it was a Cobra plane. The
with Battler. The
with the forward swept wings. It was black.
I do was not it, know my G.I. Joe vehicles at all.
I guess this is more for Seth. Yeah,
there was a white Joe vehicle or Joe Jet, the Conquest.
Which one was there? A Cobra one that was black with forward swept wings.
I'm pretty sure that was repainted at some point into a Cobra vehicle. I don't remember specifically if it was
okay.
Black.
I remember a black one with forward swept wings, and like I would want to see that transform into Revenge of the Fallen Jetfire, but like a young, evil, awesome Decepticon version of Jetfire, like in his prime. That's what I want to see. Because the color scheme already matches, at least the one that I'm picturing in my head. So I could see that. I could see that work out really cool.
I'm sure a listener out there can probably help out identifying what you're thinking of, because they probably know more.
Well, I'll find it in a minute.
Oh, or Seth will use his mass G.I. Joe resources to discover it for us.
Too sweet. My mass resources, which is yojo.com.
Well, Seth, while you're at it, what would you want from a G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers line?
Man, I would like a lot, because I've been evangelizing the need for this to happen for a hell's a long time.
What would you like? A lot.
Yeah, I want everything done already. Go back in time and make it happen. Now, if I had to pick one character and one vehicle, I would love to see his tank Megatron. Mm-hmm. So awesome. Like, Joe size, too, so he could, like, stuff Cobra Troopers in him. And, oh, man, I can't really think of much else that would be more something I would want.
Like, that would be a crown for you.
Cobra Alliance Megatron? Is that what it would be called? Yes.
Yeah, I don't really have much hope, though, for... If they were to do a crossover like this with, that would be big enough to actually work with Joe figures. I think it would probably end up being really expensive, but maybe Human Alliance size figures.
That could work.
I don't know. Maybe. I'll just keep holding my hopes up and being disappointed for the rest of my life.
It's kind of a downer, but we also have the rest of my life. We have a one other question from Yo-Yo Ball 27.
That's an awesome name.
Hi, I have a question for Evangelist and WTF and TFW. The question: how do you choose? How are the people chosen who go on a podcast? Because I see that sometimes it differs. Is it just the people who can or cannot make it? Is there a specific, you know, array of people who are on a list, or am I just stupid and should I know this? Thanks. Bye.
So what he wants to know is, how are podcasters and guest podcasters chosen? Now, as you all know, I've explained how the core other six podcasters were chosen. Basically, I'm from a mirror universe that exists behind the mirrors that you and you other laymen and normal people look at in life to brush your teeth. There's a world back there, and I am from it. And there were six other podcasters in that mirror world, but they died. So I came here with their microphones and found their six mirror alternates. What I would call my own mirror world, what you call your world. We'll call your world Earth Prime, and we'll call my world Earth Primer. So I took the Primer microphones, and I found the Prime versions of my six former compatriots here, because only they could work with those microphones. So that is how these podcasters were chosen. I remember meeting them, actually. It was quite interesting explaining this to them all before I transformed into a superhero and fought off some monsters. But as for guest podcasters, it's either admins from TFW who help out with the podcast, or it's some of the other contributors, or it's a very much insular. Now, many will say insular is a bad thing, and you know, it is in a perfect world, but it's not a perfect world. And for me, an insular selection of people makes it both easier to schedule and easier to do podcasts, because generally we'll at least know each other in some way online, so it won't be awkward. And for scheduling, it's a lot easier. Also, if I open up the podcast entirely to whoever wants to get in, then I would demand to be paid for the nightmare of trying to schedule all those people all the time. So, there you go. I hope that answered the question. Do you guys have anything to add? Do you remember when I told you all about the mirror universe? Or did I wipe your memories about that? I forgot.
Yeah, probably.
I'll deal with
you
it later.
You did. You sure did.
Anyway, I hope that answered the listener questions, because that's all we got this week as far as topics. Next show is episode 52. Oh my god!
Next show is the season one finale.
The season one
episode 53 is season two premiere, baby. We're bringing it in again. A team, odd numbers. What?
Yeah, because you don't celebrate your birthday the week before.
I actually celebrate my birthday the day on.
That's what we're going to be doing for the podcast.
I'm pumped. Are we doing anything special for the season premiere?
We don't know, because Vangelis won't tell us.
Yeah,
if
well,
he
we
has
are
anything
we are doing
mind or not.
At least something a little special for the season finale, because I actually think finales are cooler than premieres. I'm sorry to say. But I've been informed by the producer that I can't explain any more of this.
Favoritism.
That's right.
We see how it goes now.
Clear, palpable favoritism.
See where we stand.
It's all right, guys. I've been spoken to by the producer many times for my favoritism, and we've had many fights, and, well, honestly, I think something bad might happen to me, but we'll deal with that when it happens. So,
whatevs.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, the next time being episode 52, this has been Vangelis, Drew Iden, Gogdog, and Seth Buzzard, and, it's been quite a fun almost a year. I mean, at least for them. For me, it hasn't, because I've been editing all these bloody things.
Always complaining.
Bitter.
He's had help offered. He just refuses.
Exactly.
Just ignores.
I ignore it all so I can martyr myself even further.
Martyr.
So, this is your resident podcast martyr, Vangelis. And those whose help he does not accept, bidding you a fond farewell for now until next time.
So when you nail yourself up on that cross, like, how do you get the other hand nailed in?
I'm just that damn good. I'm all like, I'm gonna use my teeth, arch my neck over. A really long hammer.
You're like Mechaneck from He-Man.